You know, I had to junk one.
Yeah, which one?
It was, I think it was one of the ones, the Seagal ones that when Mark was there. It was everybody, but I had the volume set too low because I was. It sucked. Sucked. It was a good one. It was the lost episode. I suppose, I don't know that I actually. Yeah, I probably junked. I might still have the file. I could probably still post it for the super fans that want to like listen to something that's super low and like all hissy because it's got tuned up way too high. The super fans. 350 plus, dude.
Are there really?
Well, there's 350 episodes plus. That means
Oh, I
it
thought you
must
meant
have
fans.
accumulated. Honestly, I still don't have that shit figured out. I need to get a tech person that knows what they're doing and they can tell me how many downloads and such. I want to feel like it's exclusive, is what I want to say. You know? I mean, here's the thing. Like, if you checked it out, if you downloaded it, like, if you got it on iTunes and had it subscribed to it, there's no huge incentive to unsubscribe necessarily. That doesn't mean you're listening to it, but you might listen to it every now and again. That's how I am with most podcasts. Actually, the only podcast I still consistently listen to is the first one I ever listened to, which was the Film Junk podcast. Believe it or not, that one's the one I still consistently listen to. Every now and again, I'll go back to Chapman's podcast and listen to it in kind of a chunk because his are always generally pretty short, you know, between 20 minutes and 40 minutes or so. And I'll listen to a handful of those, get in a mood. There's a few other ones that seem interesting, but I don't know.
20 to 40 is a pretty good amount.
20-40 is a good length, you mean? It can be. Sometimes 20 is a little short, and things can seem a little quick. I've done some with the Powerhouse that were 20-25, so it goes. It's not usually how we roll, but we did that. We did one that was pretty short here recently. I think Kingsman was pretty short. We just get focused. Clearly tonight's not going to be short though. Nope. Tonight we're going to talk about Justified, the final podcast about Justified.
I remember vaguely what I thought about all the other seasons before this one, but yeah, it's definitely a blur. I remember season three pretty well.
The Quarrel season.
Yeah, and I remember a lot of season two, and I don't really remember season four or season one.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, season five was The Crows. It was
Right.
Michael Rapaport.
Yeah.
Season one was just kind of a lot of lay of the land, I think. Remember he had that guy that was the loan shark in the restaurant.
Right.
And then there was the episode. I mean, there was two or three that were actually written by Elmore Leonard in that first season, and they were kind of standalone-y, just about like sort of a. You know, a hitman, whatever, or
Right.
something. And didn't a couple of episodes in season one involve Winona's husband?
Yeah, there were a couple like that, yeah.
But yeah, then they became pretty focused, I'd say. It was still Boyd heavy, and of course, at the end of that season, they brought in his dad.
What's his name?
Something Crowder.
Bo.
Bo, right? There's Bo Min as the brother who we never saw, and Bo Crowder, and then
Boyd.
Boyd, and it was still connected with
It was MC Gainey.
the MC Gainey, fucking son.
Yeah.
And it was still sort of connected with the Miami thing. There was the Miami connection,
Right, yeah, that's right. They played that up still in the first one.
and then they sort of got into by I would say more the third season was when it became more about the Detroit connection, I guess,
Teotonin.
via the Lexington Mafia or whatever.
Right. I liked that stuff.
I did
I thought all
too.
that stuff was good.
I just feel like I mean, in each season kind of had like a villain, and that was fine. Like, you know, like
Right.
it was Mob Eagle in season two, and all of them. And I think that made it easier to kind of keep track of what was going on. But even then, I don't know. I feel like that's part of, in some ways, that's sort of the strength or the novelty of the show, but it's also kind of the weakness is that they bring in these people like each season, and it's kind of like, well, I guess there's just a new person showed up, or they've been here all along but weren't involved in the first part. It kind
Nothing
of feels
wrong with
like
that.
they're making it up as they go. It
They
definitely
were
feels,
making it up as they
and
go.
that and
That's how
that's
you write a
how
TV show.
that's exactly. But I mean, it's different than what we're kind of getting spoiled by now, which is this sort of like novelistic, you know, there's a sense of a plan to the whole thing and things are hinted at early and then pay off two seasons later. Kind of, there's not a lot of that in this show. It's not really what it was about. I mean, the through line of him and Boyd was always kind of there, but I think in the better seasons, it was less there. It was more like there was an interesting B story with Boyd. There was an interest or A story with Raylan or vice versa. And then at some point, as the season really came to a head, like in 3 and stuff, and in 4, it was all like leading towards them. You know, they would end up actually interacting more. But I want to say that in most of 3 and 4, they really didn't interact at all.
They bumped into each other multiple times, and then there were times when Raylan would help him
right.
with something.
And I kind of like that.
And Boyd would help him with something, and then at the end, he was basically like, I'm still going to get you.
Yeah, I'm going to get you. I remember what 4 was all about. 4 was Shelby.
Right.
It was the guy who stole the money, and then they put a bow around the whole Theotonin thing.
Yeah, they put a bow around the Theotonin thing. There was
it was Mike O'Malley.
The thing in the school.
Yeah, the school.
And they carried over, what was the guy's name? The guy who was Mike O'Malley's right-hand man. They carried him over into the next season, I think, and then they killed him off pretty quick.
He was in season 5?
I think with the crows? Was. I think he was in somewhere in the beginning or middle or something like that, and they killed him off. What was his name?
Oh, you're right. You're
Picker.
Right.
Mr. Picker.
They did kill him off. And I remember that was an interesting... Season 5 started interesting because they actually went to Detroit for a window, and there was that abandoned building that was kind of all like, what's going on here?
Right.
Yeah, that like it hinted at it being more interesting, and they brought that one guy in to play Hitman for one. They brought Tui, not Tui. Who's the guy? Who's Wash? It's Wash from Firefly.
Oh yeah, Tudyk.
Yeah, they had interesting guests over the course of the seasons, and a lot of times it was like, you know, they would bring in actors and a lot of times they didn't really matter, but like there was Ketchner. Was in 2 different episodes, this one and then one from before when he did go back to Florida for some reason, which was in season 3 or 4 or something like that. It might have even been season 5. That Eric Roberts.
It was season 5. He did go back to Florida because of the crows.
Yeah, and then followed. Eric Roberts was in either 5 good. Or 4, and he was just constantly drinking, but he helps Raylan out of something. And,
yeah, he has a couple of them.
And then, like, the other guy, aside from Tudyk, that was the Chicago guy, was Will Satt. Like, people were just like, you know, you recognize them. No one was really
obviously,
huge.
Obviously, Patton Oswalt had kind of a lasting role from about season 4 on. I don't know, he was in a couple, he was pretty big in 4 and then not so much in 5. He was a little bit in 5.
He was in one episode of this, or 2 episodes of 6.
At the end they brought him back.
Was he in the episode, what episode was that where Errol takes Ava into the hardware store and Bob goes in there to go, was that this season?
Yeah.
So he was in a couple, he was in a few episodes.
Yeah.
He might have been in 3 or something like that.
Yeah, he had bits to do and things to do. I mean, I don't know. It's a unique show. I don't know that there's anything else quite like it or that will replace it.
I think it's fantastic because it plays like the realist. It plays like the realistic show, realistic cop procedural thing, and it follows a very believable through line with the way these characters react to each other, and you know, it's got the strong polar opposite things with Raylan and Boyd, and they both have strong motivations throughout the whole thing. And Raylan's motivation is always a great one. It's the old Batman thing about the dad. You know, it's a different Batman thing, but it's the thing about the dad. But then like. The fantastic elements are what make it really fun, which are because they follow, it's not episodic. It follows a line, like you're watching season-long movies, basically, and then really like a whole series-long movie. But they throw in the bad guy of the week thing, and sometimes the bad guy of the week will last several weeks. Sometimes it'll last a whole season, and sometimes they'll put several of them in a season, like in different parts, like they did in this one with
Well, we should let everyone know we're going to spoil the whole show.
Sure,
so you better be caught up on your Justified. We're talking about Alpha and Omega of Justified here tonight.
Yeah. So you had the military or security force guys in the right. first half of this. In the second half, they bring in Boone,
yeah.
which is played by the guy, I forget his name. He was in it. He was in everything for a while. All the teen movies and stuff. But, like, it's kind of weird that they split it up like that, if you think about it. Because to really make Boone a more interesting character...
They should have introduced him more...
They could have had him there sooner. The whole time.
Yeah.
So, but they bring him in after they basically kill off all the other ones, except for whatever happened to Choo Choo.
Remember? He actually died from the train. He died on the train tracks, and then the train didn't hit him. It stopped in time. He'd been shot up a couple of times in some altercation that happened there involving Ava or whatever else. And then he got in a car and drove off. And then he stopped at the train tracks and saw the train come and then disappeared. Yeah, it's a show. Yeah, I think that's another... And even in all the way up to the very end of the show, I feel like it's, I don't know, it's hot. It's got a hodgepodge quality to it that can make it fun and make it kind of unpredictable. But it's kind of always the same thing, too, which is what you want, you know? It's like these real colorful characters, you know? Like, you talk about Choo-Choo, and you talk about where, I mean, you almost could just see an episode of just them from their perspective. I mean, they did an episode like that in season 3. It was all Dewey, you know, running, or season 4, I think.
That was a fantastic episode.
Running around thinking with his kidneys taken out or whatever.
That was fantastic.
And I mean, Dewey kind of got on my nerves at a certain point. It was humor with him, but I mean, I don't know. That's not the character I would have picked to focus a whole episode on.
Mm-hmm.
They did little things like, was it season 2 or season 3 when they did the reverse heist when Winona stole the money from
that
the
was
vault?
In,
from
it
the
was
evidence.
In 2 or 3.
And
remember.
They had to
that
get
was,
it
that
back.
That was really good.
Yeah, that was good.
There was a lot of really inventive stuff in there. And I just always think of, like, you know, the stuff that I really liked actually early on was that bad guy of the week. Like, the ones that were, even though it did follow a thing, like, they would just bring in a guy for a week. Like, that one who looked like Scott Weiland with the pork pie hat.
Love that, yeah.
I loved it because it's one of those things where, like, a lot of times, you know, I mean, Raylan never tended to struggle. He was always kind of like he's actually like the bad guy in the whole show. If you reverse it, he's the bad guy you can't escape from.
Right, sure.
And all these people are just trying to do their little schemes and stuff, and they're almost protagonists because they're all likable and stuff. Then the bad guy comes in and stops them at the end. But right. anyone who actually thinks they're really badass
mm-hmm.
just gets very casually blown away by him. And the funniest thing of that was the guy who does the knife game where he puts a gun out in front of them, and as soon as they reach out, he stabs them in the hand, and then he kills them, right?
Right.
And that was his whole trick, and he was a really cool dude, and he had the pork pie hat. I keep saying that, but he had one.
Yeah.
And then they plays the game with Raylan at the end, and I think Winona was sitting there, like he had kidnapped her or something.
Yeah, it was a whole thing.
He was in the hotel room, and he's like, all right, here we go. And Raylan, without even moving his body at all, just casually pulls the tablecloth toward himself, and the guy reaches out and stabs nothing. He picks up the gun and shoots him. Like,
he pulls the gun towards him, and then it throws everything out of whack.
Yeah, it was
no, awesome. it was a gag, and that was good. And I mean, obviously, it was a show with a sense of humor, with kind of a wry sense of humor. The dialogue was really good,
mm-hmm.
And so it was really just like a series of capers. Like you said, sometimes they were of the week, sometimes they were a season, sometimes. It was a little, maybe it made it a little tricky to kind of get super invested in any of the characters because it felt almost sort of so, I mean, you talked about being kind of realistic, and I don't know, I feel like maybe I disagree because so much of it is just not cartoony in like a negative way, but like these are characters and this is like, everything about it almost has like a humor to it. Very much so is like a big... kind of like an epic, but like a fun kind of epic.
If you
it
think
sounds
about
weird because it's dark in places as hell.
It's the things that make it interesting are the license they give themselves to make everything, the characters themselves and the situations cartoony,
right.
are that it's supposedly in the most backwater,
of course.
Crazy inbred place ever. Like right. that's basically what it's supposed to be. And yet, you know, people come in and out of Lexington, and I still swear that at one point someone said something about it being a 4-hour ride. And that's a lot of travel, because I think Raylan lives in Lexington, and he's always in Harlan, so he's always going back and forth.
Pretty much, yeah.
But,
we had the house at some point.
Yeah, that's true. The other thing is, you can't name an Elmore Leonard anything, movie or story or anything like that, that doesn't have that, the cartoonish characters in it. And to his credit, because he was such a strong writer with such a strong voice, everyone who's adapted one of his things has included that in there. Oh, yeah. You can't take it out. Quentin Tarantino couldn't take it out, you know? Like, none of these guys
Wouldn't have, though. I feel Soderbergh
didn't take it out, you know? Like, none of these people took it out. And there's countless more. I mean, there were TV shows made. There's tons and tons and tons of different stuff made after all his things, and multiple movies and Get Shorties and all the things with Owen Wilson and this and that. And they all have that cartoonish element. He was just a great storyteller with this stuff that puts things in a real world with cartoonish elements and characters in certain roles. But what's different about this is it is put, like, you know, Leonard started as a Western writer, mm-hmm. before he moved to the crime stuff. And the crime stuff is where he introduced a lot more comedy into it. So it's transposing his latter day comedic crime caper writing and putting it back into the Western setting. Like, the only way you can possibly do a Western setting anymore is to take it to some place that's mostly lawless, you know, and everyone gets away with everything, and then you just put this white hat guy right in the middle of it. But he's way more complex than that. He constantly, you know, he broke laws all the time and did this and that, kind of did what he wanted, but then he always, you know, hid behind the badge when it came time to explain himself. But yeah, he's a great character. I love that Raylan Givens character. I like Timothy Olyphant a lot. I like when he plays really angry more than in this show. And over the past and over the last couple seasons, there were episodes where he was very angry again. But for the most part, he toned it down. And they kind of made a joke of that in the final thing there, because his wife said, Winona says to him at one point that he's the angriest person she's ever met.
Right.
And then in the end, she says the most stubborn. And he says, at least it's not angry or whatever. Like, yeah. He's cooled off over the years. But when he started cooling off, his only reactions to thing in the past couple of seasons of the show were to smile a lot.
Yeah.
He did a lot of smiling. I feel like they weren't playing to Oliphant's strengths. So I kind of feel like a lot of actors could have played the role, but they got a very thin, tall, very smooth walking person, which is exactly what you needed for this. So I'm not sure how many thin, tall, smooth walking actors there are in
right. And with I feel like there's a level of nuance there too. And I feel like he pulled off the wry smiles and stuff. I feel like you're right. They did rely on
when he's
on
pissed is when he's the best. That's when Oliphant's the best actor, is when he seems dangerous.
Yeah,
when he
seems dangerous. And they didn't do enough of that, I think, in the later season, because they did mellow him. I think maybe it was a conscious decision. You're like, well, now that his dad's not there,
exactly.
And now that he's got a daughter and whatever. And I mean, like, yeah. So I mean, like I said, I really like the show, but I'm kind of disappointed in some things about it. I feel like I'm confused and. I'm confused about his relationship with his ex-wife, because that seemed like something that they hinted at in the fifth season, where she kind of just laid it out like, look, I'm okay with where things are now.
Right, but she also said, and then the line after that was, what kind of chance do you give us? 50-50 or...
Yeah.
And he's like, maybe somewhere then, around there. It was very obvious they weren't going to work out. He was moving there for the daughter. Like, he knew it was something.
But at the same time, you didn't really know why.
Because that's important to him.
No, I don't mean why he moved for the daughter. I mean, like, why it wouldn't work out. It seemed like it was.
Because they butted heads the whole time.
But
they butted heads the entire time.
They seemed like they butted
heads as divorced.
Yeah, I know. And that's also...
It's his ex-wife. They kind of have a fling and get back together. Yeah. And then they butt heads again. And it's obvious they're no good for each other. But I thought that was totally fine. I didn't
get that at all. I got that they were like they had a shared sense of humor. They understood each other.
Everyone had a shared sense of humor.
Well,
on the show.
To a degree, right? But they had a
Dewey.
And then they had a kid and everything. And I don't know. I feel kind of bad that things didn't end up.
I was kind of upset when I saw her walk up at the bench there. I was like, oh no, they're not together, are they? I was glad when I saw they weren't, except for that she was married to some guy who looked like somebody who just failed his audition for TNA wrestling with like a weird Fu Manchu and a little flavor saver. Yeah,
he looked like the villain of the week on Burn Notice or something.
Yeah.
You're like, are they really already hinting at like Justified Miami now, and he's going to have to take this guy out? Who knows? No, I mean, it's just a strange... I honestly don't know when the show was originally pitched or how much things might have changed when Elmore Leonard died pretty early on with the show, to the point where they were going to do it three seasons and they were going to focus it really. And then when things changed and
he didn't die early on. If this was the sixth season, then he died in the fourth season. Because he died in 2013.
Okay.
He did? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay. So then the fourth season was, you know, kind of developing some things, I guess. I don't know. It's just there's parts of it that I feel like are weaker than they and they're weaker not because they're weaker because they shine more light on them, and all the way up to the very end, like the very end of the show is him and Boyd talking through the phone, mm-hmm. and the whole thing about them digging coal together.
Yeah.
And all we ever saw of that was them talk about it a couple of times, and it never seemed like it was really something.
There was flashbacks in season one, and there was constant talk about it. He went back to the mines himself in season two or whatever, looking for Boyd.
Boyd was back in the mines in season two. But I don't remember that him going back there. I remember something, and maybe there was a flashback in the very beginning of the first episode, but. I don't know. I feel
like you just looking for stuff to hate. Always.
I'm not looking for stuff to hate. I'm just looking for stuff to hate.
Just love it, man.
I'm nitpicking a lot.
It's lovable.
I'm just like, why did they do this and do that? And some of the things I feel like were just a little weaker than they needed to be. And I mean, I think we can agree that this is not the strongest season. It was a good ending. I think when it finally started to speed up.
With four episodes to go, it turned pretty fantastic. I think that all the things they crammed together in episodes, like, I don't even know how many episodes.
The middle episodes.
The middle episodes, they crammed some weird coincidental stuff together in order to make things fit. But I didn't think that really held it against it. I think the best season was easily two.
You think two was really
absolutely,
the best
by
season?
By far. That was a fantastic season of a show. Like, that was maybe the best season of a show I've ever seen. And then maybe one. Though one had, I think, the episodic stuff that they did in the first half of the season didn't really fit. The stuff with, like, Steven Toblerowski and stuff like that. He was the dentist. There was just weird kind of...
Yeah, but that made it a fun show, too.
I didn't like that stuff.
I liked that because I liked that they, like, okay, it was kind of a throwback to old TV where it's like they've got their, like, an X-Files kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a show that's about this kind of stuff, but then it's going to have the through line. But then as long
you don't have to worry about that because X-Files is coming back.
The Monsters of the Week, well, we can get to that later.
And they hired Skinner.
They got Mitch Pileggi and two of the other writer, Glenn Morgan. And
I like how you said they got him. Like, he was like, oh, let me check my...
Dude, all I'm saying, fine. They got everybody is coming back.
Of course, because none of them are acting.
No, I'm not talking about the actors, dude. Like, some of the writers, if Vince Gilligan comes, dude, this could be, the joke of it is that it's like six episodes, and they've already talked.
Is Vince Gilligan coming back for it?
He sounds like he wants to.
Wow.
And the thing is, but it's got like, it's like the companies where you're talking about, like, yeah, there's going to be a couple Monsters of the Week episodes. Like, in six episodes, they're going to do like three that matter.
Yeah, I complained about this.
And I'm like, they gotta just...
I hope it leads up to another movie that doesn't answer anything.
Oh my god. No, this could be... This. I'm gonna put it on record right now. This is gonna be vindication. This and Star Wars will be vindication for fighting the good fight and bringing back something awesome and doing it right. I'm gonna say yeah. I'm gonna stand by that. Based on nothing. And I'll be disappointed and I'll say I was wrong, guys. I had faith and I was... I held the faith. I carried the water and I was wrong. On both of those, probably, but who knows? We can talk about those later. Sorry, weird aside. But yeah, I'm super stoked for the X-Files.
So, season two was fantastic. Either one or three is probably my next favorite after that. And then the other one. And then maybe like four, six, five. Five, is I don't think, was great.
Not really, no. Five was kind of a treading water thing with all the crows and who cared, you know? Yeah. That was the problem I had with a lot of things of it, is that when it would get into the big... storyline, it'd be like, I guess I just had trouble caring about a lot of these characters because of whatever they would do.
But it was about these power plays and stuff that happened in this small place, and I mean, Raylan was there to stop them from doing mostly terrible things, and in all cases, they put innocent people at stake. They put a lot of, like, you know, children. There was children in every season that mattered. And, you know, they brought back Loretta in multiple seasons, and she was who mattered in two. But, like...
But even when the first moment they introduced her, she was always, like way too smart and way too cool for everybody. She's a little hard-ass. So it kind of made it, like...
That was fine. She was a good foil for Raylan.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, in that sense it was, but you never really felt like this was a character that was particularly threatened or could be manipulated or... Ma Beagle never quite manipulated her.
No, she couldn't. But you put, you know, her Beagle boys were pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's true.
And they were murderous and insane and, yeah. I don't know. I loved it. It was a great show. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was a fun one. Not much else I really have to say, I guess. Characters were good.
What do you grade the show?
The whole show?
Yeah. Because you've been hating really hard. Let's see what your final grade is after all the hate.
Probably just a B.
Ouch. That's rough.
That's for a whole show.
For the whole show, I give it an A.
I mean, like you said, there's a couple of fairly forgettable episodes in some seasons. Whole swaths of seasons.
The worst season on that show is better than the best season on 95% of the shows.
Probably,
on TV.
I don't watch 95%. I watch a lot of TV, and I don't watch 95% of most of that shit on TV. I just don't. I watch prestige stuff. Sorry, dude. Uh-huh. And I watch Flash and Arrow because they're good. They're good throwback shows.